Hey everyone, thanks for listening to another Just a Catholic podcast. Today I want to discuss something that is probably pretty well understood by at least the Catholics that listen to this podcast, and that is the real presence. So I'm talking about the real presence of Christ being present there physically in the bread and wine at Mass. And I've got probably kind of an unpopular opinion about it, and I'll share that with you in a little bit here. In a podcast in the last few days, I discussed about a homily that the priest had given recently, and he had mentioned that so many, like 68 or 69% of Catholics out there, at least self-professed Catholics, do not believe or do not know that the true presence of Christ is there in the bread and wine, okay? And that triggered my thinking a little bit, thinking about, well, first of all, how absurd that is, and then second of all, I started doing a little more research about it and started to read about basically what some traditionalists out there would call Eucharistic abuse, or, you know, diversion, or I guess abuse is the best term that you can use for it. And for those, again, my listeners probably know what I'm talking about here. But when the bread and wine is given out, you know, we usually take communion in the normal Novus Ordo church. We take communion, most of us, on the hand, right? And if you're a, you know, SSPX or FSSP or whatever traditionalist strain of Catholic you are, you are taken aback by that, right? That's completely unacceptable. And it's because there's the tiny particles of the bread, which again contains Jesus's divine essence there. It's physically him there. That can fall on the ground, and or it could be, you know, fall on the ground, could be trampled upon. Of course, that's disrespectful, and we don't want that to happen. But even one argument that's always made by those who are really against communion in the hand is that, you know, someone could pocket it, basically. You just take the communion, go home with it, sell it to a Satanist or something, and, you know, they could do all sorts of terrible things with the body of Christ there. And I get that point, that that could be a problem. But this is where my unpopular opinion comes in. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about people taking the bread from church. And my rationale goes kind of like this, okay? So we know that the priest during the consecration and during the Eucharist, the liturgy of the Eucharist, right? We know that at some point, right, during that liturgy, the true essence of Jesus goes into that bread and wine. Okay, so it's truly his body, truly his blood. Now, of course, normally it doesn't appear any different, right? It's just, it's there. It can hold both the physical nature of the bread and the actual divine essence of Christ in it. And that's, you know, I suppose that's one of the mysteries, right, of our faith. I mean, I know that there's theological or theologians out there that can explain a little better. I'm not a theologian. But we need take a step back here and let's assess really what's going on here. So at some point, the priest says some words, does some actions, and that bread basically becomes the body and blood of Christ. Okay. It's not like it's a magic spell, right? We're not, you know, occultists or anything. We're not, the priest, just by the fact of him saying some words, can't turn anything into the body and blood of Christ, right? And even if, well, let's not go there, but the body and blood of Christ is created basically by the will of God, right? It's not that the priest is really has this magical power. I mean, yes, he's ordained. Yes, he's our representative up there in persona Christi, whatever, you know, whatever terminology you want to use. But really, what he's doing is being a conduit for Christ, right? He's a conduit for, you know, God's will that we celebrate the Mass and we partake in Jesus. So if you hold that belief, as I believe most Catholics out there should or do, let's say someone did take one of those bread that is now a Eucharistic bread that has been, you know, transubstantiated. It's now both divine and bread. And they take it home and they do something untoward with it. If God has the capability to turn that bread into the body of Christ, who's to say that he couldn't reverse that? I mean, with God, anything's possible, right? So why would he allow such a thing to happen? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense that, like, we're saying that priest has had the power, he magically made that into Jesus, and now there's nothing he can do to reverse that. Well, there may be nothing that the priest can do, but surely there's something God can do, right? Or God would do. And so, I guess I want to go a little more into that discussion of, like, the mystical aspects of Mass in just a second here. So the mystical aspects of our faith are very important. And I think that particularly in the Novus Ordo Mass, right, I don't think that it's mystical enough, right? That's what kind of draws me to more the Tridentine or the traditional old form Mass, the extraordinary form of Mass, because it has more of the majesty, right? It's a bigger deal, right? That we're creating, basically we're celebrating the liturgy, we're celebrating the Eucharist, we're all, you know, even the priest is facing that way, and it's, you know, we're all in awe of Jesus. And I've gone into this before, the smells and the bells and everything that's great that goes along with the more traditional Mass. But we need to keep in mind, and I think this is where a lot of traditionalists go awry or go astray, is that the tradition, the I guess the process, right? The actual liturgy, the actual Mass, the form of the Mass is not as important as what is actually happening in the Mass. Okay, and that's not the most eloquent way of saying this, but we don't go to Mass to be impressed by all the fancy icons and the smells and the bells and the priest garments and maybe a fancy foreign language like Latin. That's just part of creating the environment that is the real reason we go to Mass. And the real reason is to celebrate together as a community and receive the body and blood of Christ, right? Or to at least celebrate the Mass, because, of course, you know, weekly communion is not that traditional, right? It was a relatively recent advent that we got communion so often, but that's for a later discussion. So with the Eucharist being the main, you know, reason that we go to Mass, or at least the celebration of the Mass is what's important, not all the surrounding things, right? A Mass done in a field, like in the military, like when chaplains would go out on a battlefield and say Mass, or before the battle, that is no less a Mass than the Mass in the grandest cathedral, St. Peter's, at the Basilica, whatever, wherever we're seeing Mass in this amazing, majestical building, it's no better than one given in a barn or a Mass on a battlefield. And we need to remember that, okay? This mindset of keeping the tradition or keeping the majesty of the Mass as kind of the center focus is misplaced, in my opinion. You know, whether it's a Novus Ordo Mass or you know, extraordinary form or in Latin, they're all doing the same thing. They're just different expressions of creating the Mass, creating, in the case of the Liturgy of the Eucharist, creating the actual presence of Jesus. And so if we have that opinion that it's not necessarily the pomp and circumstance, but the actual process, right? The end result, then we can kind of step back and go back to my previous discussion about, you know, the Eucharist and why I'm not so worried about people stealing it. Because, again, God can revert it back if he wants, right? And if someone, let's say that we can't, let's say that the priest has magical powers and truly has the power of God put into him in that moment, and it's completely irreversible, which is absurd on its face, because, of course, with God, anything's possible. But let's say, you know, it's not. It's not possible, just for the sake of the argument. Well, what possibly how does it hurt you, a good Catholic, if someone does steal that and goes home and does something like flushes it down the toilet or sells it to a Satanist or whatever? It's not like that wafer in the body and blood of Christ, or the body of Christ there, is going to somehow give them evil powers, right? That's not how God works, and we all know that's true. I mean, that's bad for them to do that. That's super bad, in my opinion, even holding this my belief as it is that, you know, God can revert it back. He's not going to allow something like that to happen. But even if he couldn't, which, again, is absurd, that's on the person doing it. And I think Jesus can take it. Okay, Jesus has had the worst thing possible done to him many, many times, over and over and over again, both in his life and after his life ended and he went up to heaven. I mean, he was whipped, given a crown of thorns, crucified, died, and then there's been, I'm sure, many abuses to him and his church over the last 2,000 years. He can take some clown going out and doing something terrible with the Eucharist. Now, again, that's not an excuse for them to do it. I think it's completely wrong and sinful to do that, but Jesus can take it. And that wafer, that wafer that is now has, let's say it still contains the body, blood of Christ, the essence of Christ there. If someone has that, it's not magical. Like, it's not going to give, like, they're going to be able to conjure Satan or something. That just absurd. It just makes no sense. It's wrong, and it shouldn't happen. But that's not a reason to say that, you know, communion on the tongue is the only way to do it, because then you can't steal it, which you can steal it. It's harder, but it's possible, right? You could break into a church and get it too. I mean, there's other ways to get it. But the Eucharist, in my opinion, at least, when the essence is put in the bread, I don't see how it's as big a deal. I think God can reverse that. I think God can say, oh, you aren't going to take it as the body and blood of Christ? Well, guess what? Now it's not there. Because he's God. I mean, it's that simple, in my opinion. Now, I want to reiterate, I am not for Eucharistic abuse or taking Eucharist out of the church, you know, and giving it to someone else or doing something bad with it. To the contrary, I just don't see it as big a problem for the church, for the rest of the church that's doing it right. I mean, you know, like I mentioned before, I think God and I think Jesus can take it. I think if there's some clown, some idiot out there that wants to do something stupid with it, first of all, he'll just take away the essence of Jesus from it. That's probably if I were God, that's what I would do. But, you know, obviously he's way smarter and has a way bigger brain than I got. But then even if he didn't, okay, what's one little insignificant person on this planet going to be able to do? I mean, it's probably not the end of the world for God, right? So that's kind of my kind of unpopular opinion about why this Eucharistic abuse isn't maybe as big a deal as some on the internet at least would have you believe it is. So I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this. You know, I really do value your feedback, so send me a comment on to justacatholic.test@gmail.com or on the Just a Catholic app. While you're there, the Just a Catholic app, if you want to drop us some blessings there, that'd be great. We really appreciate that. Justacatholic.page is our internet page. Look forward to some new educational resources that are going to be starting to be put on the Just a Catholic app. We're kind of working really hard on improving the options for Catholics out there to become educated, not only in the faith, but also for careers. So look forward to that in the future. But until next time, take care of yourself and God bless.